Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Bob Surratt. I'm at WKRP in Cincinnati.
7:39, thanks to the Nextar Tabernacle Choir for that. On the Team Hochberg phone line, the host of a terrific podcast. It's the top rock and roll podcast out there, David Milberg. It's Rare and Scratchy Rock and Roll. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Bob, from beautiful Pelican Cove, Sarasota, where we might have a cloud today.
Don't rub it in. No, I don't want to hear about that. But I do want to hear these stories you have about love songs just in time for Valentine's weekend. Some interesting factoids, starting with the song Sunny by Bobby Hebb. This is a song we've all heard over and over again, and I never knew the backstory here. Tell us about it, Dave.
It's a love song. Bobby Hebb had a very bad day on November 22nd, as the whole country did too, when John F. Kennedy was killed. But that same day, Bobby Hebb's brother Harold also was murdered. So within 48 hours, Bobby Hebb wrote a song that was a tribute to both men. He called it Sunny. And according to BMI, which is one of the music publishing companies or licensing companies, it's number 25 among the top songs of the 20th century. And as you said, hundreds of other artists have recorded it.
And you know what?
Number two, rock in the U.S.
I'm sick of the song, but now that I know a little more about it, next time I think I'll enjoy it a little more.
Sunny, yesterday my life was filled with rain. Sunny, you smiled at me and really eased the pain.
And now we move on to a song that is a great love song, and it was originally a commercial. Let's talk about this, Dave.
Well, it was a commercial. It was a television ad in 1970 for the Crocker National Bank in California. What they had is a young couple getting married, and they played a little jingle sung by Paul Williams, who was just emerging as a big-time singer-songwriter, and Richard Carpenter of the Carpenters. He did all the arrangements for the Carpenters. He heard it, and he said, you know, we've got to record this, but I've got to get Paul to write some more lyrics. So he arranges to run into Paul in the parking lot at A&M Records, owned by Herb Alpert. He said, Paul, we'd like to sing the song, but you got to add some more verses. So Paul did, and the rest was history. Here number two, rock. Number one, adult contemporary in 1970.
Here you go.
We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises.
And next, we get the backstory on a love song that was a gigantic hit. And the urban myth, I guess it was an urban myth, was that it was written about a dog. True or not?
Yeah, the urban myth, it's an urban myth indeed. It was, people think it was written about the composer's dog. The composer was one Scott English, who had a couple of hits. And when Barry redid it, he changed the title to Mandy from Brandy, which was the original song, because there was another hit song at the time by Looking Glass called Brandy. And Manilow shortened the song, renamed it, his first hit single, number one rock, number one adult contemporary in 1974.
Yeah, remember how sick you got of this song.
Looking in their eyes, I see a memory I never realized. How happy you made me, oh man. Well, you came and you gave, well, I'll take it. But I sent you.
This next song is one of my favorites by a great Chicago performer, Jerry Butler. And most of us remember the original theme. Talk about Moon River here, Dave.
Well, you know, the song is mostly associated with Andy Williams, but it's Chicago's very own Jerry Butler's version. That was the rendition that co-composer Henry Mancini opined was the best among the countless recordings of this song. And Jerry Butler's version came out the same time as Henry Mancini's instrumental version, and they both peaked at number 11 on Billboard's Rock Singles Chart in 1961. The Andy Williams version was never a hit, even though he used it as his TV show theme song and performed it on the Academy Awards TV show in 1962.
This guy has a fantastic voice.
Jerry Butler.
Haven't talked to Jerry since his days as Cook County Commissioner here. I hope he's okay. Really sweet man and a terrific talent. We'll take a quick break here, and then we'll get more from Radio Dave Milberg, who hosts one of the top rock and roll podcasts in the world. And by the way, he has free downloads, no commercials. It's available everywhere, rareandscratchy.com for more on that. And we'll have some more stories behind some of those popular top 40 love songs just in time for Valentine's Day. We'll pick it up with Paul McCartney next.
Bob Surratt.
I am the morning DJ at WGN.
We're in the middle of our little Valentine's Day music special here with Dave Milberg, who has the Rare and Scratchy Rock and Roll podcast, one of our favorites. He's got a giant groove yard, lots of music in there, and he's passionate about his podcast and his music. And we have behind the music stories of some love songs, and including a big one from Paul McCartney. What can you tell us about this one, Dave?
Well, Paul McCartney wrote this one because he was getting panned by his former Beatle bandmate and occasional co-composer John Lennon, plus a few music critics. They said that Paul's stuff was silly. He only wrote silly love songs, and a lot of critics were saying that Paul's stuff was pure slush. So Paul wrote this song in response to that. A lot of people don't know that, you know, Lennon and McCartney are credited on most of the Beatles songs, but they usually wrote them individually and not together. This was a big hit in 1976. Linda McCartney, Paul's first wife, was credited as the co-composer of Silly Love Songs.
Here's a little bit of it.
You think that people would have had enough of silly love songs?
All right, let's move on to a song that I think I'm the only person who still likes this next one, Dave, from the Titanic movie. What's the story on this?
Well, Bob, there are two of us who love this song. As you said, it was written for the 1997 film Titanic, and the director of that film, James Cameron, didn't like the song. Celine Dion hated it. She didn't want to sing it, but the composer, James Horner, persevered. So he convinced Celine Dion to go into a studio with no musicians and record the voice track. She did it in one take, and it went on to become her biggest selling song, her signature song. And it was number one all over the world in 1997 and 1998, won an Academy Award and four Grammys.
So not only David Milberg, you didn't like it. You do like it. I like it, but Celine Dion didn't like it, did she?
No, she didn't. They added the musicians later, and you never know. These things turn out unintended consequences can be very good.
Bobby Darin had some great hits, and you have the story one of his early records. Talk about this.
Beyond the Sea. This one was imported from France, and if you can imagine riding a train from Marseille to Paris during World War II under the Nazi Germany occupation of France, and singer-songwriter Charles Trenet is on the train, and this idea for a song comes to him, but he's got no paper to write it down on. So what does he do? He goes to they had a men's room on the train, and he grabs some toilet paper, and writes down the notes and the lyrics. And these were later translated into English. Bobby Darin did the definitive version. A lot of people did it. His version was number 6 rock and number 15 rhythm and blues in 1960. And La Mer became Beyond the Sea for Bobby Darin.
How romantic a story. Toilet paper.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing. Somewhere beyond the sea, she's there watching for me.
One of the great love songs of all time was done by the Righteous Brothers and other artists, too, over the years. Correct, Dave?
Oh, there have been about 25 hit versions. Did you know that Elvis Presley had a country hit with it in 1978, a posthumous platter?
No, I didn't.
And everybody did this one. Yeah, and it's associated with the movie Ghost in 1990, but it originated in a 1955 film about a prison break. And nowhere in the song does the lyric Unchained appear for Unchained Melody. The Righteous Brothers had a hit with it twice, number 4 rock, number 6 rhythm and blues in 1965. And then when Ghost came out, it got re-released and was a top 20 hit. But they had to record a new version of it, too, because they wanted to make some money off the song, and they didn't have the rights to the original. So both versions were on the charts.
Yeah, here. And, happy Valentine's Day with this.
So slowly, and time can do so much. All you still more. I need your love.
This was a Phil Spector production, wasn't it, Dave?
Absolutely. In fact, Phil Spector had recorded this song with about 15 other artists before he got around to doing it with the Righteous Brothers, and he put it on the 45 as the B-side, which we were always the throwaway side of the 45s. He thought it would bomb. He didn't like it at all. He just put it on there just to fill up some space.
David Milberg called Radio Dave. He's got tales of some great hits that Time Forgot, and he knows all. He's how many records in your groove yard there, Dave?
More than anybody else.
And again, the podcast, Rare and Scratchy Rock and Roll, it's one of the most popular podcasts and one of the best for music lovers, available on every major podcast platform. And you can go to rareandscratchy.com. Is that the best way to find you, Dave?
That's the best way. And by the way, you can also find you, Bob Surratt, on episode number 70, one of our most popular and most downloaded shows.
I was honored to be a guest. Regards, by the way, Mr. Milberg, from Dave Annett, your former colleague.
Yes, we had some great times together many years ago at another station in town that's remained nameless.
Many years. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, we can
good to talk to you, Dave.
Yeah, we can only use their initials, BBM. Radio Dave Milberg, always entertaining, always interesting, and now when we hear that music, those Valentine's Day love songs, we'll think of these behind-the-music stories that you gave us. I look forward to talking to you again, David.
Thanks, Bob. Rock on.
You too. Let me tell you something. This guy, he knows more about music than anybody I've ever run into. And he does a great job on that Rare and Scratchy Rock and Roll podcast. He does these theme shows. He's like the Merv Griffin of rock and roll. And he really is passionate about it. And we like to check in with him from time to time over here.